a division game on the road, it could have set a tone for the start of your season. Instead, it's a loss. Final score, the Cowboys 27.
Well, talk about snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, everybody. This one was an absolute heartbreaker. Giants lose in Dallas by the score of 27-26, opening up 2015 on just a horrible, horrible note. Welcome to Giants Post Game Live for another season here on My Nine, everybody. I'm Russ Salzberg. How are you? Joining me today, my colleagues, Sean O'Hara, David Deal, and Imani Toomer. And guys, listen, that one was, we've seen some tough losses. That's as bad as it can possibly be.
Russ, it feels like deja vu. I mean, this was just exactly what happened in Week 12 last year. On Sunday Night Football, the Giants are up, and they can't stop Tony Romo again on a two-minute drive. My heart goes out to the team right now because this defense played their butts off. The defense deserved to have a victory, but I really feel like the offense let the defense down.
I truly agree with you on that one. You talk about a defense who created turnovers and got 17 points off of those three turnovers, and they were on the field for more than half of the game. So they were out there fighting, doing a great job of giving the offense more opportunities to put points on the board. And this is where that last final drive, we're settling for a field goal and not getting that touchdown to really put them over the edge, really hurt the New York Giants.
Yeah, I thought they were just a little too lackadaisical, not as aggressive enough as they needed to be, especially in that last drive, even though they got it down inside the one-yard line. I think if they were going to throw the ball, maybe they should have done it on second down, not on the four, on the third down, because even if Eli were to have taken that sack and on third down, he possibly could have ran more time, and Tony Romo might not have an opportunity to engineer that drive.
We don't have to be mathematicians, but do the math. The Cowboys scored with roughly 10 seconds to go. If that third down play was a running play by Eli instead of a pass, those 30 seconds get eaten up that way.
Listen, you know you should have run the ball when you've got a receiver over there saying, I can't believe they threw it.
He should have just taken the sack.
Yeah, if you go down right there, you're not out of field goal range. But at that point in time, Ben McAdoo has to take that play out of Eli's hand. Don't force him to make that decision in the heat of the battle. You've got Rashad Jennings. He's a big running back. You're on the 6-inch yard line. You've got to try to run the football and say, you know what, even if we don't get in, we're going to chew some time off the clock. They've got no timeouts. They really, as I said, the offense let this defense down. I mean, the only reason they were in this game was because of the defense and the turnovers that you talked about.
Yeah, they did run the ball in the first three plays. Maybe they should have broke it up a little bit between there. I mean, I think that on that fourth down, that third down play, if they had three plays to try to get it in, and they ran it from the one-yard line, they needed to be more creative on those runs. And on the third down play, they needed to have more than one option for Eli. They had the tight end who got held pretty well, but Eli didn't throw the ball close enough to the tight end Daniel Fells for it to be for the referees to throw the pass interference flag.
And you know, we were talking when it was second down. Monty and I were saying, "Well, wait a minute. Do you maybe run the play on third and fourth down?" Then we said, "No, because if you don't get it, then they can go the other way, for a tying touchdown." Yeah. But if they were going to pass the ball, they might as well let them go 99 yards, and they probably would have won the game as well. It's just that. That last drive, listen, I'll give the Cowboys credit for going the distance and making that touchdown, but for crying out loud, that's a really tough one to swallow. We were all saying this is a great way for the Giants to open up their season.
Yeah. Well, and defensively here, to let Tony Romo, they had no timeouts with very little time, to allow them to just march down the field like that. And listen, they were hitting just crossing routes with the running backs. And basically what they said was, our running backs are faster than your linebackers. And that showed up throughout the game. I mean, I thought Unga did a great, admirable job filling in for John Beeson. But it was clear that he just was not fast enough to keep up with these running backs in the cross routes in the flat. And that's how they marched down the field. So at some point, you've got to find a way to change that up and not let them get out of bounds and stop the clock.
And I hate to rehash the game from last season, but the biggest factor in that last drive, the Giants' defensive line were not able to get any pressure on Tony Romo, and he had all the time in the world. And if you think back and go back to that last goal line drive, He had over 4 seconds to throw the ball. I mean, basically, he had every option where the coverage for the defense and the Giants was great, but he had so much time that they could work the release. Wide receivers still work to get open, and they're able to come up with a touchdown.
One of the reasons why they brought in Steve Spagnuolo was because of the fact that he brings pressure and he can make up for lack of talent on the defensive line. All the way up through that game, there was pressure coming from all over. Tony Romo was making different checks. But that last drive, sometimes there was three-man rushes, there was four-man rushes. They did not bring the pressure. They weren't as aggressive as they needed to be defensively down the stretch.
During the game, you're right. It was looked to me, guys, as if it was kind of a bend-but-don't-break situation. On that last drive, it was like Swiss cheese. Then they just marched through them. You didn't see that. Even on the opening drive of the game, for the first 10-minute drive, they weren't beating the Giants with big plays. It was close, third down, making a play. This one, they just marched right downfield.
Russ, I attribute that to the maturity and the veteran aspect of the Dallas Cowboys. They realized the game is on the line, and they turned it up a notch. And you could see it because all game long, the Giants defense was playing step for step, and they were right there with them. But when the game was on the line and the fourth quarter, the Dallas Cowboys offense, Tony Romo, turned it up a couple notches, and the Giants defense just could not keep up with them.
One of the biggest things that I also saw watching this game was Tony Romo doing a very nice job at the line of scrimmage, calling dummy cadence calls to get the New York Giants secondary, the blitzers, to show those stunts early and then being able to pick apart those different blitzes, whether it was stemming over Jason Witten to pick up another blitzer or to bring his running back in. He found ways to pick up the blitz. And then the third quarter, you saw the Giants start disguising things, getting a little bit better. But down the stretch, Tony Romo, you got to give him credit for the way that he handled it.
You said it, disguising. They did not disguise very well early on, and that's why Tony Romo was able to set those protections to where the blitzes were coming. I think, remember, when we in 07, when Steve Spagnuolo first became the defensive coordinator, it took us a little while on defense to really understand and know specifically what they had to do. I think these guys are just are so much in their head trying to figure out what they have to do that they're just lining up. They're not disguising anything.
Yeah,
yet.
And it's hard because Landon Collins is a rookie, and Brandon Merriweather's been here 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So they're both still trying to figure out the
defense.
That's
what it
they
is.
Just want to make sure that they're
not having
the right
John
position.
Beeson is huge in this game.
As you say, not having talk about no disguises. There is no disguise in how ugly this loss was. 27-26 to the Cowboys on a crusher on opening night. All right, we've got a lot more coming up, including the press conference from head coach Tom Coughlin. First, a little business. Make sure, folks, that you go to Adorama.com/Giants to win yourself an Audio Technica camera mount microphone. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the New York Giants. Stay where you are. We're coming back.
We came, we played hard. They gave it everything they had. We're on the road. We have an excellent chance to win. It's my fault at the end of the game. There's nobody else to blame but me. The decision to throw the ball there on third down was not a good decision, and it should have been a run, whether we scored or not. The clock would have at least given us an opportunity to take a few more seconds off. We wouldn't have had the points, but you know, we could have run the ball. The clock would have run. We line up, take a timeout, and kick the field goal. It would have taken at least another 40 seconds or so off the clock for them. So that was a bad decision on my part. Nobody else to blame but me.
Tom, another scenario. Wouldn't Eli been able to fall down when the pass wasn't available in that situation?
Well, he didn't. He didn't, so.
Did you have an opportunity to brief him before that play or at all? Was it just?
No, that was a call that just came in.
How did about you think on fourth down? Was there thoughts of going for it?
There was, but, I mean, why would you let them get to midfield and kick a field goal to tie you? You know, that was my only thought there. I mean, was to come away with some points. And we certainly should have. But the back and forth with the penalties and whether the clock was running and they gave them a timeout back, and had they, you know, it would have been a little bit more difficult for them had that timeout that they took been able to stay a timeout rather than pick it, you know, give them back their timeout because of the penalty.
What did you say to your team when you?
I said exactly what I just said to you. They played hard. They came on the road. They worked their tails off. They put themselves in position to win. We didn't win. I take full responsibility for it because the strategy was obviously wrong at the end. So.
Tom, overall, how do you assess the defense? They had some long drives, and then at the end of the game, they obviously had some very quick and successful.
Well, we played hard, and we got ourselves. You know, we put ourselves in position to win the game on defense. We didn't stop the drives at the end of the game. Were, you know, quite frankly, they were a knife through butter. I mean, it was too easy. But that's not the reason we lost. They had they shouldn't have had the time to even do that. Had we done it properly?
You obviously, you know, you came in as pretty big underdogs in this game. Is there enough positive? You obviously were in position to win. Is there enough positive for you to leave here?
There's plenty of positive, but you'll never erase the chance in a hostile environment. You'll never erase that part of it. You know, that part of it is not going to go away from me. I think the players will be okay. They feel bad now, and, you know, they want to kind of point the finger and do all those kinds of things. But they're a good group. They'll rise up. And they know I'm telling the truth, you know. I have no reason other than to tell them anything but the truth, and that's the truth. You know, the game should have been handled in a different way right there at the end. As a matter of fact, you know, in all of those situations, I am very, very reluctant to do anything but score. In other words, you know, sometimes people get out of the way and allow you. You know, I'm taking the points most of the time. I understand all about the clock and all that, but that would have put us, you know, obviously a touchdown put you back up 10. So that's it.
All right, Tom Coughlin putting the loss on his shoulders, understandably so. However, as we all know, guys, you've heard it time and time again, you win as a team, you lose as a team. The defense still had a minute and change to stop them, and they made really no effort on that particular drive to stop them.
Not even just to stop them. I mean, all they needed to do was keep them out of the end zone.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
Not even just
keep
a
them
field
in bounds.
Goal. Exactly.
Don't let them stop the clock. The defense could have bailed Coach Coughlin out, and he's falling on the sword right now for his offensive coordinator because they should have never called that pass play. He knows it, and we all played for Tom. All right, every Saturday, Russ, we go through game day situations, and on Monday mornings we come in, and Tom Coughlin will show us this is how a team lost a game because of poor time management, and this is how a team won a game. So I'm sure he's beside himself, the fact that they let this happen, because they should be celebrating right now. We should be smiling, and we should be saying, wow, the New York Giants won a week one game since for the first time since 2010.
But in Dallas.
In Dallas. Yeah. But instead, and that's why Tom is so upset right now, because he knows that this is on him. And that's why he's being a man and he's standing up. He's not blaming anybody else. But to your point, too, Russ, the defense, they could have bailed him out right at the end. And you know what? They went after the linebacker that was making his very first start in the NFL, Unga, right there at the end. Tony Romo knew exactly where he was going with Jason Witten.
And he wasn't having a bad night, Unga, up to that point, really.
No.
No, but, you know, the Dallas Cowboys obviously did their homework. They knew exactly who to go after. And that's what, when preparation meets opportunity, that's exactly what you practice for. So you got to give the credit to Tony Romo. You got to give the credit to the Dallas Cowboys for knowing in a clutch situation where they were going to go with the football.
And where did he go the other time in the clutch situation for the touchdown to Jason Witten? They motion him over. Landon Collins is a little late for the adjustment. Isn't able to come over as a rookie. Touchdown, Jason Witten. Tony Romo found ways to pick and choose which times he wanted to go after him. And unfortunately, they were the key moments in the game.
Now, let's not leave to a commercial on a sour note, because when we won the Super Bowl in 2007, we lost to Dallas in week one in Dallas.
By one point.
Heartbreaker. Well, so don't break your TVs yet. All right, save them. We've got a few more games.
I know you lost, but it could have been much worse than this one. Bottom line is, though, a loss is a loss, and they have to regroup because they got Atlanta coming up next week. Stay right where you are, though. Got a lot more to talk about this week. Eli Manning coming up. More player reaction. You are watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine.
That's a loss.
on My Nine. As we heard, very, very tough loss. Nothing to smile about. 27-26 Cowboys over the Giants, spoiling what could have been a great opening night win. For more of that reaction, let's go down to Paul Dottino in Big D, who caught up with some of the players coming off the field.
JT, an unbelievable finish on that last drive. What were you guys looking for, and how did Witten get open on the score?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, Witten's a great ball player, man. He found a way to create space on Wanny. And I think Tony did a good job of squeezing the ball in there, man. This is a tough loss for the Giants, man, but I tell you what, I'm proud of our guys. I wouldn't want to be in any other locker room, and I think we just get better at this point. I'm excited for this ball club.
So many people didn't give you a chance in this game, and the fact that it was tooth and nail, does that tell you something about these guys?
It does. It says a lot about our group, you know, and the reason why I'm so excited is because we have more opportunities to get better in front of us. We get a chance to see this ball club again down the road, and I will definitely be prepared.
Demetre, another unbelievable finish between the Giants and Cowboys. It always comes down to this, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, man. But, you know, it sucks that we're not on the other side of it, but it was a great game, a great competition, and, you know, the better thing just came out today.
What's the hardest thing about trying to get to Romo? I know you guys wanted to. You just couldn't get home.
I mean, between the quick checks and him just being elusive, you know, it's hard. Like, the pass rush was there. We were winning, and they had some great blocks, and so, you know, things just didn't fall our way. It's kind of like last season. You know, things didn't fall our way, but the coach told us just keep doing what we're supposed to do, and then everything will happen, and it'll fall into place. So, you know, we'll see how it happens next time.
Thank you, Demetre Moore. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thanks for giving.
Okay, guys, back to you.
All right, Paul Dottino. So let me ask you, you guys have all been there before. As they say in sports, if you're a professional athlete, you have to have a short memory because you have to move on. What good, because no Giant fan can look at anything good right now, but what good came at it tonight?
Well, they're competitive. I mean, there was a question whether they're even going to be competitive because, you know, their secondary was suspect. The safeties are coming in and out. The fact that they were competitive and they pushed the team that won the division last year to where at home on opening night, I think that's something to be excited about.
I was excited about the way that Prince opened up the game and the way he played throughout. I mean, he basically minimized and took Dez Bryant out of the first half before there was the dehydration issue, which actually Dallas closed the dome for that to affect the Giants, ended up backfiring against themselves. And also, Eric Flowers played well, especially down the stretch, showing composure, not throwing a second punch. That penalty on Mincy moved them forward and gave them another opportunity to punch that ball in and win that game.
Yeah, I mean, the theme this entire preseason was the banged-up secondary, and can this defense stop the run? And I thought they gave up some big plays at times, but coming into this game, you mentioned Prince Amukamara. I thought he had a heck of a game.
Yep.
I thought Dominique Rodgers-Camardi had a very good game. He got hosed on a penalty.
Oh, boy, did he.
And ended up in the touchdown. But at one point in this game, before Tremaine McBride had actually stepped out of bounds, the defense had scored more points than the offense. So I think the silver lining in this game, Russ, is the way this defense played, given the injuries that they've had at secondary. Brandon Merriweather's been there for a couple of weeks. They started Unga in place of Beeson, and he led the team in tackles. He had 12 of them, and he had an interception. So there's a lot of things defensively that this Giants team, when they look at the film, they're going to say, wow, you know what, we played our butts off. We can improve, certainly. They need to do a better job in the pass rush, getting after the quarterback. But I think offensively, they're going to have a hard time when they watch this film because they realize they let their defense down.
And offensively, they ran the ball a lot better than we suspected because, you know, all throughout this preseason, they weren't able to run the ball as consistently as they did tonight, especially third in the fourth quarter, not on the one-yard line, but I'm talking about getting to the one-yard line.
That's why you
they
want
ran the ball pretty well.
Rashad Jennings had two big-time runs.
And Shane Vereen showed up
and
gave some good contribution out of the backfield, switching directions a couple times. I really was impressed with him.
Yeah, you know, listen, you know that the Giant offense is going to be there. As you say, the question has been the defense. And in fairness, let's remember, they're playing without their best defensive player, JPP, without knowing whenever, if he will be coming back. You know, that's a big load for them to deal with. They got to find the pressure, though, someplace else.
And John Beeson, too.
Yes, and the two best defensive players were not playing tonight. All right, well, again, you're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. A lot more coming up. Eli Manning, more player reaction, so stay right where you are. All right, folks, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live. On again, there's no way of making this one pretty. 27-26, the final score. Cowboys beat the Giants. It is a real, real heartbreaker for the Big Blue, but they got to regroup in a hurry because the Atlanta Falcons are coming up, followed by a Thursday night game at MetLife Stadium against the Washington Redskins. But right now, let's go back to Big D, catch up with Paul Dottino and Howard Cross. Guys?
Well, thanks, guys, and truly a mixed bag all around for the Giants tonight. Howard, let's start with the defense. Until the final 8 minutes of this game, they had really held Romo and the rest of those guys in check and then gave up 270-plus-yard touchdown drives that eventually cost them the game.
Well, you know, I think that's kind of unfair. The defense did a great job the entire game, fighting the whole way, holding them out. They actually, believe it or not, they scored a touchdown. They attributed to 17 points. They did a lot. But being on the field for that long kind of rubs on you, so it's hard to do.
Yeah, I believe it was 37 minutes time of possession for the Cowboys. Ultimately, just could not get to Romo despite a variety of defensive pressure packages.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one of the hard things to do. If he had like 5 seconds to throw almost every time, that's tough. Romo can cut you up.
All right, let's talk about the offense for just a second. And I'll tell you what, we'll bring in Reuben Randle. Why don't we do that? Reuben, come on in for here a second with Howard. Reuben, appreciate your time very much. You know, this is one of those Donnybrooks again, the Giants and the Cowboys. You guys seem to have so much dramatic finishes. What is it about this matchup?
Just a matchup of two great teams, both full with talent, and always going to be a four-quarter game, no matter what situation may be. So, unfortunately, we came up short again this year.
Now, settling for 3 field goals when you guys were in the red zone, clearly that came back to haunt you because you just didn't have enough points to hold on.
Yeah, and that's something we got to clean up. Got to make more plays once we get down there to the red zone, find a way to punch that ball in the end zone.
Now, on the last drive when you guys were driving down and eating up so much clock, and, of course, Rashad had a big run in there, it looked like everything was going to go your way. At that point, how much is the confidence building inside you guys you'll be able to finish it off?
Yeah, I think everyone on the offensive side, well, the whole team was confident that it was going to come out victorious at the end. And a couple bad things happened. I think got some penalties there, and they started stopping the run a little bit, and then wasn't even punch the ball in the end zone.
Reuben Randle, thanks so much for your time.
All right.
Appreciate it.
You got it.
All right, guys. So, Howard, let's finish this thing off. Just in talking about this offense, as I said to Reuben Randle, 3 times inside the 20, settling for field goals, and ultimately the Giants didn't score enough points.
Yeah, but ultimately, the 3 major drops right there in the red zone, that kind of stifled the offensive drives. Can't have it. You got to make plays when you have those opportunities. If you don't do it, that's what happens. You wind up kicking field goals.
All right, let's talk for a second about the guys who are making their NFL debuts, Eric Flowers, Uwani Unga, and Landon Collins.
Hey, you know what? The rookies, not real. Everybody's rookie with debuts. Flowers did a great job playing out there at the left tackle position. Hostile territory, very loud in this building. He did a great job blocking. Also in the run game, he was very strong. You know, when you think about safeties coming in and playing under the circumstances, Landon Collins did a good job. He got his guys set up. Wasn't a lot of discussion out there in the secondary asking guys where they're supposed to be and what to do. And then Unga coming in and playing his first time, really getting NFL experience. Thought he did a great job running from sideline to sideline, making plays. He did a great job.
All right, Howard, once again, an unbelievable finish here tonight. Thank you so much, and we'll see you again next time.
All right, Paul.
Guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul Dottino, Howard Cross, thank you again, guys. And, again, listen, you know, there's no way you're sugarcoating it. 27-26, you know, bottom line is, whether it was ugly, pretty, whatever, a loss is a loss. Giants are 0-1. They looked like they were going to be 1-0 going into their home opener next week. It is not the case. All right, let's take care of some business now, folks. Guests of our post-game show all receive a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's Terrific Steakhouse, located on 5th Avenue at 28th Street. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood anywhere, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of a steakhouse. Stay right where you are. Eli Manning and a whole lot more coming up on Giants Post-Game Live here on My9.
Yeah, I should have. Bad 100% on me right there. Bad clock management for that whole deal. I should have definitely, you know, had an option to take the sack and run those 40 seconds off the clock, give them less time. So that's 100% on me, and that can't happen.
Tom said he blamed himself for the play call in the first place, though. What do you think of
No, you know, we gotta try to you know get it to two scores, and you know I had bad clock management that those final three plays. I thought they'd used their last timeout on the play to Odell when we got the first down, and I thought they only had one timeout left. I guess since there was a penalty, even though we declined it, for some reason that stops the clock, and so I didn't think that was the case. So I had bad. Bad clock management there, and thought we could, run out the clock or get it way down. And then on third down, I can't afford to throw it away. Got to just, you know, sit in there, take the sack, and run off those 40 seconds.
Why do you think the offense had so much trouble getting going tonight?
You know, I thought we had a couple good drives, just. You know, they did a good job getting some pressure, you know, keeping everything in front of them, weren't letting us get down the field much, and, you know, missed a couple throws on some third downs, a couple in the green zone where we could have extended some drives and possibly led to touchdowns. So, I got to play better. I got to make the throws that are there and stand in there and get completions.
In the first half, you guys had the ball 7 minutes compared to their 20. Did that kind of make things difficult?
Well, they had a good first drive where they had, held the ball for almost 11 minutes, and then we responded back, had some nice plays, and got a field goal. But they just held the ball. They had some long drives, and we got some had turnovers where they're scoring, they're getting the ball back again, and we just didn't. We didn't get to hold the ball very long, so we didn't have too many possessions in the first half, and we got to find ways to get touchdowns.
You had, three times you had a big third down possible completion. Preston Parker had a drop. Was that frustrating?
No, I missed him one on an out route where he laid out for it. I got to throw a better ball there, wait on him a little bit, thought I threw it too quickly and too outside, so that would have been a third down conversion. Had one down real close where we didn't connect on one, and that's unfortunate. The other one down the right sideline wasn't a great throw by me, and they played it pretty well.
Third down plays, the kind of thing where the coaches will sometimes give you a reminder, hey, if it's not there, just go down, or they just kind of trust you to know that at this point?
Yeah, I got to know that 100%. Got to know that. Got to know the circumstance and just. Don't take a chance and take that sack and go on to the next, get a field goal and leave just a little bit of time left on the clock.
All right, just like Tom Coughlin, Eli putting the loss on his shoulders. I was thinking about it when Eli was talking there. We said that the offense let the defense down. Those last two drives by each unit, because the final drive by the offense without getting into the end zone was terrific. We all went wow when Eli pinpointed that first down at the 2-yard line to Odell Beckham Jr. And then the defense, as we saw, was bending but not breaking, except on that last drive where they completely broke.
I thought they really missed Victor Cruz in the slot, and Victor. He's been huge against the Dallas Cowboys. They really could have used him there. But I thought offensively, one of the things that really came back to bite this team was the fact that they were 1-4 in the red zone. They settled for field goals. They couldn't punch it in. And to your point on that last drive, Rashad Jennings, he had a big 7-yard run. He had a 27-yard run. And he was getting better as the game went on. The offensive line was kind of starting to wear down the defense too, as you could see in that last drive. So, it would have made more sense to continue running the ball.
Not to mention, wide receivers had drops today. Early in the first quarter, Odell Beckham Jr. had
Preston
one.
Parker had Preston one in Parker, the bread basket.
Preston Parker, the drive right before the Rashad Jennings touchdown off of the McBride interception. third and eight. That ball is put right into your hands. This is the reason why the New York Giants kept you instead of James Jones for this sole purpose, to catch the ball when it's put on you to make the play. Dropped it. That was a huge momentum play for the New York Giants, where the Dallas Cowboys spun around, took it, and really from that point forward took control of the fourth quarter in that game.
Yeah, that was a huge momentum swing, that drop. And that's how drops are sometimes on third down equivalent to turnovers for receivers, because those are the balls that you're paid to catch. And by the way, James Jones,
please don't go there.
Green Bay Packers,
please don't go there.
Caught two touchdowns today.
Yeah,
but, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but he doesn't play special teams.
I'm just saying.
You're always just saying. All right, we got a lot more coming up, folks. So stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Prince of Mukamura will be next again. So stay right where you are. All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, everybody. You see the final score, and it is not a happy one for Giant fans, 27-26 in Dallas. As I said earlier, talk about snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Giants looked like they had this one, but with about 10 seconds to go, it all fell apart. All right, back to Dallas we go, where Paul Dottino caught up with the Prince, Prince Amukamara.
Well, thanks, guys, and Prince, I have to tell you, that last drive, of course, was difficult to watch for sure. What were you guys looking for on the field there and, of course, the final touchdown to Witten?
Well, we knew that they had no timeout, so I guess the mindset was just to come out and play coverage, meaning no blitzes, just play coverage and let them make a throw and keep everything inside and in front of us so we could tackle so they can run the clock, and they just made plays. We didn't make them.
Now, on the positive side, three turnovers forced by this defense, something Coach has been after you throughout the course of the summer and the preseason.
Right. Yeah, I think that was huge for our defense, and we're very excited about that. We weren't surprised that we did that. However, I feel like the Cowboys started they were starting to score a little bit easy, and they put together a couple of drives, and we just have to be better at that.
Considering the Cowboys' offense had the ball for over 37 minutes, and it was hot and warm, was that a factor much at all? Did you guys wear out?
I'm unsure. Personally, I didn't, but I know anytime we're on the field a lot, that can definitely wear down the defense.
Okay, final question, the secondary, all the new parts, Merriweather, Collins, how do you feel the starting secondary meshed?
Man, I'm definitely excited, man, especially with the way Brandon played and just the fact that he's a force in how he hits and then Landon, just the same thing. They both made plays for us, and Tremaine had an awesome game, so I'm definitely excited for us.
Mr. Mukamara, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul Dottino, thank you very much. You know, they mentioned Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. He had a 57-yard fumble recovery return for the touchdown, but he was also on the bad side of, listen, we don't like making excuses, but that was, I think we all agreed, just and including the announcers, that was an awful pass interference call. I mean, for lack of a better term, he was screwed on that play.
Yeah, because what happens is you're allowed to, you know, make contact, we call it chicken fighting, with the receiver and the defensive back. The only time they make those penalties is when there's a motion outside of what a receiver's doing to try and catch the ball. So if you take him off of his opportunity to make the catch, that's when they usually call the flag.
In other words, if you turn him around.
You turn him around, his shoulders turn, something jars out of the ordinary that prevents him from actually making a catch, and that did not happen. There was great coverage on that play, and I think everybody, if you watch that play over and over again, I think that referee who makes that call is not going to be graded very highly through the NFL.
He didn't wrap him. He didn't pull on his jersey. He didn't reroute the wide receiver. It's a bad call, especially where it was on the field at that point in the game. That's another turning point in this game. If that doesn't go their way, they're settling for a field goal instead of going on and scoring the touchdown like they did on that drive.
Yeah, he got hosed, no doubt about it. And on the very next play, it's a touchdown. That being said, I thought the defense bounced back with the exception of that final drive where we heard Prince and Mukamura say that they were playing coverage and they sat back. And that's how they gave up a 16-yard pass, a 20-yard pass. But up until that point, I thought the turnovers were huge. Now, that's the coaching, Steve Spagnuolo. That's him coaching and talking about ripping the ball out. Tremaine McBride was beat on that one route.
Hustle.
Showed a little hustle, came back, was able to rip the ball out. You saw Unga with the interception. And I think that's something that this defense, if they can continue to get three turnovers like that every game, the Giants' offense is going to eventually come around, and they're going to be able to score touchdowns off those turnovers. They'll win some football games.
Well, on the positive side, while they didn't make plays when they needed to on the final drive, they made plenty of plays leading up to that, you know, as far as taking it and moving it into next week.
They gave the offense opportunities, plain and simple.
Yeah.
Now, I'll say this, and Eli stood up there and said that, you know, he needs to handle those situations better. He needs to play better. He didn't throw the ball exceptionally well. He had 16 incompletions tonight, and a lot of them, the ball seemed like it was sailing him. He's going to be sharper. I didn't think he played his best game, and I think that he knows that he missed a couple of big throws. But for him to go down in that stadium where he normally plays really well, I mean, normally it's a track meet. He lights it up. It didn't seem like the normal Eli.
Don't forget, in what you said earlier, he was also playing and not making excuses without a very important cog.
Didn't have Victor Cruz. And he was moving around quite a bit in the pocket, avoiding the rush.
Yep. But one thing about Eli is you know that in that fourth quarter, that throw he made, he's always going to, in the clutch situation, he's always going to rise. So I didn't think he played particularly well, but to me it was vintage Eli threading that ball into Odell Beckham Jr., yeah. Seeming, though, like it was going to win the game for him.
All right, well, we'll be back with our final segment to wrap things up. Stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My 9.